Well, good morning. How y'all doing? I'm from Texas. We'll get that out of the way. So for those of you that you just heard that I'm from Texas and are now really worried because of how cold it is outside, we have lived here for almost 10 years. And so I know that when the wind doesn't blow, it's not that bad out there, right? And so I told my husband the other day, and I said, I think I was made to live in Minnesota because I love to talk about the weather. And so if you want to talk about the weather with me, I'm your girl. We can talk about pressure systems. We can talk about where storms come from. I mean, like, I think if I had gone a different way, I maybe would have been a meteorologist. But it's really just because I wanted to be on camera and tell people, this is what you can expect today. So full disclosure there. What an amazing atmosphere of gratitude and thankfulness. The thought that I had in my mind as I was watching and listening to us honor Carol Lund is that it was a holy moment. Right? Not when we do things perfectly, but when we do things in alignment with the leading of the Holy Spirit and we do things open-handed, because sometimes God gives us something, right? Great, it's mine. And we want to keep it and we don't want anybody else to have it. And in the 2.5 years that I've known Carol Lund, I don't think that that is in her at all, because the things that God has given her, she's like, great, who can I give it to? Right? Because as we are all leaders, leadership is not about hoarding all of the power. It's not about having all the authority. It's about what can I give to everybody that I come in contact with? What is it that God has imparted into me that maybe will be the thing that somebody else needs that's going to be a catalyst so that they move into all that God has called them to be? And to come into that space, like, I wish I had been here sooner. Carol, where are you? I'm trying to look at you, and I don't know where you are. There you are. Thank you. Of just... wow. I want to call it a legacy, but it's more than a legacy. It's something that supersedes things in the natural. And so because I have the microphone now, I want to say publicly, thank you for how you have led, how you're continuing to lead, because it is something that is impacting the kingdom and will continue to impact the kingdom for generations to come. And Angie, the grace. Oh my God, I met your family today. And they said really great things about you. And you weren't there. And they said really great things about you. So that says a whole lot. But just the holiness of you're not walking into this nonchalantly and just like, okay. But there is such a purpose. And you feel the weight, not in a I am burdened by this, but the weight because it is holy work. Because the team that you are leading is literally impacting the world. The team that you are leading, they are linked with you, and you are carrying a mantle. Everything that you need, you have this, because God's word tells us everything we need for life and godliness, he has given to us. And so the posture of your heart, and we just met in person for the first time yesterday, but the sense that I know, that I know, that I know, is that you recognize the holiness, you recognize the bigness, but it's because you know how big your God is. And so you have said yes, and you're going to do it with great might. You're going to do it with prophetic words. You're going to do it with signs following, so that when you speak, the influence you have is not yours, but is the Holy Spirit on you, in you, through you, to impact generations to come in the name of Jesus. Simply because you said yes. Amen? Amen. Isn't God so good? I just love him so much. Often people will say, Portia, what are you going to talk about whenever I get invited to speak someplace, which is an honor and a privilege to be able to go and to speak and to talk about how awesome our God is. And the answer is simply, Jesus. Of course I'm going to talk about Jesus, because without him, I'm nothing. And Peggy talked to us about that last night. I loved that math formula. I am not a mathematician, but I understood that. So, girlfriend, I was with you of just going, okay, bottom line, Y minus J equals a big fat goose egg. Nothing. You cannot accomplish anything. And so my husband, let me talk about him really fast. If you have said to me, I probably have said back to you, hey, Portia, I like your outfit. I'm like, thank you so much. My stylist put this together. I'm not teasing. My husband really is my stylist, because he loves fashion. He is gifted and creative. He's a worship pastor, and he's amazing in all things creative and in a different way than I am. I am very practical. I don't wear shoes or clothes that are uncomfortable for me, because why? Now, admittedly, I wore some shoes last night that were super cute, but they did not keep my feet warm, and I had to walk very slowly because there was no grip, but they were cute. My feet didn't hurt. That was the thing. I was not in pain. And so my husband is a gift, and I would pull it up and read it for you, but I would cry. He made the most, he'd said this to me privately, but he posted on my birthday. And he is one of my biggest advocates and cheerleaders. And he can look at me and know when I am scared out of my mind and just be like, you need to calm down. You're okay. Just be you. Just be you, right? And sometimes we think that to just be us, what if who I am is not enough? What if who I am people don't like? What if who I am just rubs the wrong way? But I will tell you that the more that I lean into, okay, I'm just going to be me, the more that I'm like, all right, you don't have to like me. I like me. But more than I like me, I have a Heavenly Father who sings over me. Zephaniah 3:17. He rejoices over us. I think I learned this verse that he quiets us with his love, but in the Christian Standard Bible, it says he quiets us in his love, right? And so my husband has been a gift because he often reminds me what our Heavenly Father thinks of me and that you're fine. Are there things that can be changed? Of course, I'm working on it. Are there things that you could do better? Of course. But just in and of who you are absolutely enough. Not the topic of this lesson, but free stuff. You guys ready? As we're going to dive in. Okay, you have a handout, so I'm going to address the handout. I know that some of you, who are the people in the room that have already looked at all the pages? Where are you at? You're my people. You're my people. Who are the people who are waiting for the surprise? I'll see it when she's ready. She'll tell me where to look. Where are you at? Okay, that's good. That's good. I love both of you. So, we're going to start from the beginning. If you'll look on your cover sheet, it says Sisterhood Leadership Retreat. We are intentional influencers. We are Imago Dei. We are image bearers of God. I had a great conversation. Pam, where are you at? We were talking this morning about, as women, that sometimes we can feel lost in all of these things in our faith because men are addressed and they're sons and they're mighty warriors and they're kings and all the big, big heroes in the Bible, they're all men. But you know what? Genesis tells us, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And it goes on, male and female, he created them. So in our society today, we can get tied up in, okay, so is God a man or a woman? Is he male or female? Is God non-binary? And this is what I have come to. This could change, but I don't think it's going to. That God is so big and infinite. I don't think that we can confine him in terms like binary or non-binary. He's God. He's bigger than what our thoughts can encompass. He is greater than the categories that we want to check off on a particular box. And I take great comfort in that. And if you are a person that goes, I don't know, I really want a firm answer, you are welcome to continue to question. But can I invite you to bring those questions to the Lord and say, could you just, I don't understand it, but still posture yourself to go, but I trust you. Because guys, ladies, we can't understand all of the totality of God. He wouldn't be God if we could. I don't want to know. Our brains cannot handle all of God. If scripture says that for us in our flesh to be face to face with God, we would drop dead, what do we think our mental capacity would do if we understood all of the fullness of God? But it's because we can't. But in knowing that we are made in the image of God, what I'm really excited about teaching you today or talking to you about, because I'm not a trainer in strengths, I am a communicator, which simply means that I get to talk around the language of strengths, which is a good thing because I like to talk. So it works. You see how God did that for me? It just works really, really well. And I am a firm believer that because we are image bearers of God, that our strengths and the things that we have that are different from one another show us parts of God. I've heard it said that in Isaiah, when the angels, they come up and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and they bow again, that when they come back up, they see a different facet of God. And again, because it's so amazing and so magnificent, cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so when we see one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. When I am in your presence, Peggy, and I hear God's words come through you, because what God is doing in you is so holy. And so what I love about strengths is, even though they are so varied and they're so different, we are showing different facets of who God is. One of my mentors in my life preached a message on generations and how one generation speaks to the other generation, and that the younger generation can learn from the generation that's gone before them. Notice how I didn't say older. Just went before, had more experience, right? I won't tell that story right now. Anyway, but one of the things that she said was, wouldn't it be an arrogant thing for one generation to think that they know all the fullness of God, right? That's why he gives us different generations. That's why he gives us people who have different experiences. That's why he gives us people who have experienced in their relationship with God a different way than we have, because we get to learn a different aspect of God through that person's lens. So in the same way, why would we think that how God has gifted us or given us strengths, why would we think that that is the end all be all and that is the only way that God can be communicated is through our lens, right? Wouldn't that be so boring? Wouldn't that be so bland? As image bearers, we get to demonstrate who God is. So let's do some technical things. Clifton Strengths Finders, by a show of hands, how many of you have taken the assessment and you know your top five? Awesome. Keep your hand up if this applies to you. How many of you have unlocked it and you've seen your all 34? Anybody? One costs more than the other, I'm going to be real with you. One's $20, one's like $60. I'm like, 20, you feel it, or you don't feel it. 60, I feel $60. That's where we are in our lives. But what it is not so much as a personality assessment. They have inventoried millions and millions of people, and they have found commonalities in their strengths, and they found commonalities in how people display or how people work with other people, how they respond to other people. And what I like about it, and I don't even think it's necessarily a, do you like this better than Enneagram? Do you like this better than Myers-Briggs? It's just another resource, which we have been given so many resources from this weekend. And so a tip that I've heard, but I think it bears repeating, just choose one thing. Choose one thing from the breakouts that you've attended. Choose one thing from the main sessions that you've attended, and marinate and think on those things. I know we're like, I want all of it. I don't think we have the capacity for all of that. And the other thing that we can do is like, Lord, what are the things that I need to remember? What are the things that I need to hold on to from the breakout session? And maybe it's not even from a session or from these main sessions. It's a conversation that you had over lunch. It's a conversation that you had while you were walking through the shop. You know, God uses those moments so often. I mean, I've had life-changing conversations in the bathroom. Anybody else? It's one of the benefits of being a woman, because we talk to each other in there. Men are majorly missing out because they don't talk to each other when they go to the bathroom. I understand they're a little bit more exposed than we are, but still, just keep your eyes up. You'll be fine. So when we're looking at these strengths, one of the things that Don Clifton, he's the original founder, he did all of this research, and he saw what was right with people rather than what is wrong with people. It kind of sounds like our Heavenly Father a little bit, right? To look at someone and to see what is right with you. Now, if any of you are parents or if you work with children, sometimes it's very easy to see the things that are wrong with them. Like when you have said a million times, please put your coat on the hook when you come inside. The hook is right by the door where you take your coat off. Just put your coat on the hook. You know, I've heard that's not necessarily a reflection of what's happening at my house. Or It is. It happens every day. It's the same child every day. We're just like, Bud, like literally his coat is in the middle of the kitchen floor. And I'm like, Bud, can you come in the kitchen, please? What's up, Mama? Oh, okay. He's nine. He's great. He puts it up gladly. He's not mad about it. He just doesn't think about it when he comes in the house. Okay, so if we are going to be looking at our different strengths and looking at what is right with us, something that I am starting to see as I'm getting to know different people, as I am paying attention to what strengths are coming to the surface in an individual, you almost go, you know what, you're reminding me of someone. And when we're operating in our strengths in a pure, in a surrendered way, that reminder I think that we're having of someone is God. Like even, okay, I'm going to really blow your mind possibly here. Even with that person that does not know God, but when they are operating in the strengths that God has placed within them, even that person is resembling the creator who created them, because we are all image bearers. Whether we're acknowledging him in relationship or not, you can't erase the fact that you are a bearer of the image of God. Does that make sense? So when we remember that, when we are talking to our coworker, when we're talking to our friend or our family member that does not have a relationship with God, if we could ask Holy Spirit to bring our attention to the strength that is rising up in that person, there it is. So then that's where we focus and we pray. Right? That's where we say, all right, God, I see your fingerprints on this person. I ask that I would be a part of the plan to help them to see your fingerprints in their own life. Because sometimes it just takes the proper light to see the fingerprint. Right? You know, sunny days are so beautiful here, but when the sun pours into your house, you're like, oh, this is so great. And then all of a sudden you see everything in your house. You're like, whoa, maybe I need the clouds to come back. But we need the proper light to be able to see where God has touched. So why is it important that we know this? I think it's important that you know your different strengths. And this isn't a spoiler. This is just in case you have the expectation that you're going to walk out of here knowing what your top five strengths are. That's not what the session is going to do for you. However, if you go to cliftonstrengthsfinders.com for $19.99, you can know what your top five strengths are. And if you would like to talk about them, come find me and we can talk about them. Not today, we can set an appointment and we can talk about what your strengths are. But it's important to know what they are. There's something that happens in awareness. When we know things about ourselves, we can strengthen them. I know we all want to lose the COVID weight. Anybody else with me in the COVID weight? I didn't even know what had happened until I got my license picture back. I mean, like I knew I had put on some pounds. Y'all. When I tell you that COVID Portia, who did a lot for me, she kept me alive. She kept me going. She loved my kids. She was there for my husband. That sounds sketchy. It was me. It was me. There's not another person, and I don't have more than one personality. Anyway, sometimes we focus so much on the things that we need to do to make us better, when there is a lot of freedom when we can go, you know what I'm really, really good at? I am good at meeting a stranger. My mother has said that since I was a little girl that I could talk to anybody or anything if I just got going fast enough. There is a story in our family. I don't remember this from experience. I remember this because they told me that we were at a ball game or something. I think I was 3 or 4 years old, and there was a overserved gentleman that was at the game. And my mom said, you talked him sober. And I went, what? She's like, at one point I looked over and he was gone, and I figured that he had just got tired of you talking, but he had gone and bought me a treat and brought it back. Isn't that the sweetest thing? And so we can look at that one of two ways. One, man, that little girl talks too much. Someone should tell her to not talk that much. Or we can look and see that is a person who saw someone and was talking and wanted to include them in that moment. Now, did I have that wherewithal when I was 3, 4 years old to think through that? No, but that is something that God has placed in me. Two of my strengths are includer and communication. So if you're ever in a circle with me and I haven't met you, this is what's going to happen. Hi. And we're going to talk. And I'm going to ask you things about yourself, and I'm probably going to say your name a few times. Why am I doing that? Because I want to remember your name, because names are important. But if I do forget your name, I will just own it and say, I'm so sorry. This is important, but I don't remember your name right now. Would you please tell me again? Most people are super, super gracious if you just own it. Now, here's my other big secret. If you're ever with me, and I know you, and someone walks up, and you guys are going to think, did she do this to me? And someone walks up, and I don't introduce the person I'm already with. What does that mean? I don't know the person's name that I'm talking to, and I probably should. and I'm just waiting. I'm like, it's going to come. And if it just doesn't come, the person who's with me, your job is to say, hi, I'm so-and-so. What's your name? Right? And because sometimes my brain just goes, nope, not going to tell you what it is. It's in here, but I'm not going to bring it to you. So those are just some of my tips and tricks of how would I do that. Okay, so we're going to talk about you as an individual, and we're going to talk about you and your teams. How many of you are actively leading or serving on a team right now? Yes. Thank you. And if you're not now, you probably will be, so it still applies to you. It's important to know what your strengths are so that you can continue to grow them, till them, right? I'm not a gardener. Things that are green don't live very long at my house. But I do know that if I remember to water it, it has a much better chance of flourishing, right? So go your strengths. There is a natural aspect of them, but if you know what they are and you are cultivating them, then they can flourish at their greatest capacity. Same thing with your teams. When we know what our strengths are, then we can glorify God in everything that we do. We can offer it unto the Lord as worship. And so that's why we want to pay attention to this. I'd like for you to turn in your notes to the page that says, what am I good at? What am I bad at? You don't have to say it like that in your mind. You can use your regular voice. I think it's the third page in. But turn to that page. We're going to take just a few seconds, and I would like for you to jot down in the first column, good at doing. For my English and grammar people in the room, I do recognize that this is not a complete sentence, and I did use punctuation anyway, but that's because it is a question fragment. So... Go ahead, bullet point. What are you good at doing? I'll wait. Take your time. Peggy, you want to sing? What are you good at doing? Singing? Shopping? Talking? Loving? Cooking, sleeping, caring, walking, jazzing, for those who have seen the movie Soul. I just watched it this week. It's not a new movie. It's just in my mind because I just saw it. Leading, counseling, gardening, knitting, doctoring, not really a word. Yeah, it is a word. That's a word. Kissing the boo-boos, I mean, let's go. That's like magic. I have one kid left that I can kiss something and make it better. The other two are like, can I just have a Band-Aid? All right, you can keep adding to that as I keep talking. We're going to hop over to the other list. What are you bad at doing? And this is not necessarily because you just don't like to do it. There are some things that you don't like to do, and so in your mind it might flag, I'm bad at it, but it's really because you just don't like it. So, but what are you genuinely not good at doing? Like, I'm not really good at matching socks with outfits, so I go to my stylist, and he was like, you can wear these socks with that jacket. And I'm like, great, are you sure that matches? And he's like, you're fine. I'm not good at shopping. I'm not good at being quiet. I'm not good at being patient. Any patience you see in me is learned and sometimes forced. I'm not real good at baking because you can't like change the recipe. It like freaks out, and then what was supposed to be soft and chewy is like a rock. So I'm not good at baking. I'm not good at swimming because I don't know how to do it. I don't float. But this year, I'm going to learn how to swim. I already like have the friend lined up this year. I'm learning. So next year, you can be like, Portia, can you swim? And we'll find out there. Okay, so depending on where you are in your life and where you are in being your authentic self with the Lord determined whether or not that was easy or hard for you. Come on, let's be honest. Who of you in the room, by a show of hands, good at doing was fairly easy for you to make that list? And a few hands. Okay, who of you on the was bad at doing, that was a very easy list to make? Actually, about the same number of hands. And also, a lot of you didn't raise your hand at all. But maybe it's because I didn't give you an option. So how many of you, the good at list was hard for you? Okay, how many of you, the bad at list was hard for you? Okay. I wish my brain would like count the hands as they're going up, but it doesn't. It just goes, okay, that was about a handful of people. That was a handful of people. That was about maybe 25% of the room, maybe, I don't know. Because again, like Peggy, not a mathematician. Although I do respect math very much. But depending on where you are in your life determines if you are able to run through that list. Because culture has taught us to know what your deficiencies are and focus on your deficiencies. Strength says, find your strengths and focus on your strengths. It doesn't mean that we ignore the things that we're not good at. It doesn't mean that we ignore the things that need to grow. I need to grow in rising early in the morning consistently every day and not hit snooze 3 times. Sometimes 4. You know, the danger is when you accidentally turn it off. You meant to hit the yellow snooze and you turn it off and you're like, oh no, that's not really fun. So while it is important to be aware of your deficiencies, what I hope that you're hearing from me is let's not stay focused on our deficiencies, because there are some things that you're just not ever going to be good at. And I know that in a culture where everybody gets a trophy and everybody wins, that's not the best thing to hear, but it's the truth. There are some things you're not going to be good at. There are things that I am not ever on this side of eternity going to be good at. And you know what? That's okay. Because there are a lot of things that I am good at. And so I'm going to focus on those things that I am being good at, and I'm going to ask the Lord to show those to me, and in the circle of people who reflect truth back to me, what are those things that they can affirm, not discover, they can affirm what my Heavenly Father has said to me about, no, this is something that you're really good at. Hopefully when you take things like strengths, Clifton Strengths Finders, it's not going to be an aha to you. It's going to be like, oh, that makes sense. Oh, I understand that now, that you have a why behind maybe this is why, or this is why you respond to something the way that you do. Some reminders from Scripture. Psalms 139:14 is a place that the Lord has had me in recently, that we can praise the Lord because we have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know it very well. This is one of those things where like, I'll stand in front of my mirror. God, I praise you. Because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and all of my COVID weight wonder, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Because all jokes aside, my body did amazing things during 2020. It is not in jest when I say, my body kept me alive. It is so important that my body did, right? My mind kept going, and it did not shut down. And I'm so thankful that it didn't. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, so I will praise the Lord because I will know that well. Some days I don't know it very well. And there are other days when I'm like, I know it today. Romans 12:1-2, you guys are familiar with this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. So the things that we're bad at, we can surrender, because sometimes we have like this unhealthy relationship with the things that we're bad at because we've been chasing it for so long. Of just like, but if I just did this a little bit differently, maybe if I just worked harder, maybe if I prayed harder, maybe if I went to the elders and had them pray for me, this thing would show up in my life. May I release you today in the name of the Lord. Let it go. Let it go. That's not what God has asked you to do. That's not how he's formed you. But he has formed you to do other things. So let's focus on that. So in your packet, there are 4 domains that are listed for strengths. There is the executing, thinking, influencing, and relating domain. Now, the executing is not off with their head. That would be really, that's not cool. Think execute like getting it done. those that know how to make things happen, those who work tirelessly to get stuff done. In fact, I would be willing to bet that the Bridging the Gap team have a lot of people that have strengths that fall into this domain because y'all get it done, right? It's cold out there and you... We're still here. Where are the people on the doors that are opening the doors to the outside? Where are those greeters? Can we just clap for them? Because some of y'all took your coats off and we're opening the door. And with smiles on your face saying, welcome to the session. And I believe that it was a genuine smile. It wasn't like, welcome to the session. Right? There's some get it done people on this team. So you know how to make things happen. And if you'll look, I think these are red because red is just very... it's a strong, dominant color. Look down this list. You don't have to do it this way, but an idea, if you've never taken the StrengthsFinders assessment, is this: as you read through the different strengths that are listed under a specific domain, just put a little mark or something that you're like, this resonates with me. I think this is me. I think this might be who I am. It's just a great tool. And then if and when you take the assessment, you're like, oh, I was right. It's good to know that. So I love people who get things done. And I love things in this team. But you know what? Not a single one of my top five strengths are in this. Not a one of them. So the point that I'm trying to make to you is that you cannot have a strength but still have an appreciation and respect and see the value of another strength. Because we don't mean to have the mindset of, okay, if it's not mine, it must not be good. If I don't have it, I must not be good. We don't mean to do that. We just kind of slide into that because I think society does that to us. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are being transformed by the way that we think, that we can recognize that someone that has something completely different from me, I recognize that I need that in my life. I need get it done in my life. I live with a husband and three boys. If I don't have get it done somewhere in my life, we are sunk. Someone has to do it. So I think I sometimes operate in that domain, but it's because no one else in my circle is doing it, so it just defaults to me. The thinking domain. You know how to think critically. Like, you can think beyond what is happening right now. You can think about, okay, if we make this decision, it has this potential impact in the future. Right? Do you know people that sometimes they're very much in their heads, but they're able to bring to the table, hey guys, I thought about this, right? Who's that? Who are you? Who are the people like that you think you have so many thoughts and ideas? Come on, wave at me. Where are you at? Where are you at? Come on. That is amazing. Then influencing. I don't want to say that word yet, but you know how to influence. Carol Lund, you know how to influence individuals and teams. And I also would be willing to say that across the team of Bridging the Gap, that there is a lot of influencing. Because we are not a part of a fellowship that is dictatorial, that just mandates come down and you just do it. We are a part of a fellowship that goes to the Lord, and we believe that everybody can equally hear from God and be led by Holy Spirit to make good, righteous, and holy decisions. So therefore, knowing that everybody has the same access to God, sometimes decisions are going to be made by influence and by This is what the Lord has shown me. This is what has worked in the past. And then hearing from other people and then your influence. Carol's influence is going to infinitely impact Bridging the Gap for years and years and years and years and years and years and years to come. And then finally, relating. You know how to build relationships. Full disclosure, my primary gifts are in the influencing and the relating domain. Surprise! So throughout all of those, I want you to just make a mark by the ones that you resonate with. So just a couple people who are super, 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 super brave. Name a person from the Bible. Please name someone that is familiar and not someone from the genealogies. Thank you. Okay, heard of Jonah. Who said we had a Jonah? I would, in a strengths communication session, if I was sitting down talking to Jonah, I would be like, you know what I see? I'm hearing from you that you heard from God, that you're supposed to go and talk to Nineveh, and you began to think about it, and you thought about the impact that was going to make. I would put Jonah in the thinking domain, because he was so much in his head thinking about the ripple effects if he goes. And then even at the end of the book, I knew, God, you were going to do this because you're gracious and you're loving. I knew that you were going to forgive them because he was thinking. I would say in that particular context that maybe Jonah didn't use his strengths in the best way. He was obedient. He did go. He finally went after being upchucked from the big fish. Big fish, not a whale, because the Bible doesn't say it's a whale. But maybe it was. I don't know. I'm going to ask when I get to heaven. Give me another one. Another character from the Bible. Paul. Oh, okay, Paul. Paul, I think, is straddled in executing and thinking, right? I don't think Paul led with relational strengths. Paul was going to get it done, but Paul also had a lot of thought of knowing how things were going to impact things. And he was, I would even say that Paul has a touch of influencing, because Paul is the one who brought back to the council in Jerusalem saying, what are we doing to our Gentile brothers? Telling them that they must be circumcised. That's not how we're saved. In his influence, I'm not going to say that it swayed, but I think it confirmed what Holy Spirit was already saying to the brothers in Jerusalem. One more, because this is really fun. What'd you say, Martha? Y'all all know where Martha was. Martha was executing all day long. So that meant Mary was relating and relationships. That was what was most important. Now hear me, Martha was a bad sister, bad meaning good. Because it's good to be able to get things done. She just lost her way a little bit. But Martha came around and she completely recognized that Jesus was God and Lord and Savior and resurrection and life was in him. So just in case people thought that I was dissing on Martha, Martha was a legit sister who knew her God. She just got a little bit off course. Which brings me to 1 Corinthians 12. It's the body chapter. Where are you at, Carly? There you are. Carly talked about 1 Corinthians 12 on our panel today, and afterwards I was like, I'm going to talk about 1 Corinthians 12, yay. Because we all have various strengths, just like we are all various body members. Now, it would have been really cool if I would have been like, this part of the body resembles this domain. I did not do that. Different parts of the body, one body. Different purposes and function, one body. Different strengths, one body. Different ways that those strengths are expressed, still one body, and we need them all. 1 Corinthians 12, 25, oh, we're going to go a little bit, 24b. God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. What I love is that collectively we are the body, but individually we're us. We're not all Porsches, and for real, we should say praise God. I love me, but I know me. And so I'm so thankful that there's just one of me. I think that's really, really important, although there's a good dose of me and my children, and so Jesus is with them. All of us are part of the body, and all of us have different strengths. We might have similar strengths. Let me go ahead and name off my five in order: includer, communication, developer, connectedness, woo. Now, woo is not woo. I mean, kind of it is. But it also is winning others over. Low-key, it's kind of a game, not for trivial sake, but because I'm like, if we haven't met yet, you're just a friend. You're a pre-friend. You're a friend yet to be. And it's just how I'm wired. And also, I'm an army brat, and I moved around, and I was a new kid all the time. And I was like, you know what? Before you decide you're not going to be my friend, I'm just going to go ahead and be your friend. And then if you choose not to accept the offering and gift of friendship, that is not on me. Maybe I need to talk to my therapist a little bit about that, but you know. So those are my gifts. As I mentioned, that they sit in influencing and in relating. But what I have been learning is that I have to continue to surrender my gifts to the Lord. Let me tell you why. Because being an includer can turn me into doing things for my own sake, right? Let me jump down to winning other people over. It can become transactional. It can just be, I did it. They like me, right? And that's not what God has asked me to do with the strengths that he's placed in my life. The strengths that he has given to me is so that I may be a blessing to the people that God brings me into contact with. The strengths that he has given to you, because remember, it's not just for you. It's so that you can be a blessing to the sphere that you have been called to be in. It's so that you can speak into your family. You can speak into your coworkers. You can speak to your neighbors. If you don't know your neighbors, meet your neighbors. I know it's cold. Bundle up. Go over. Buy a prepackaged something. COVID's still real, right? Go meet your neighbors. That was free. In these domains, specifically in executing, if your strengths lie in the get it done category, unsurrendered turns into striving. Right? And we heard last night that we're not meant to strive, we're meant to abide. If the majority of your strengths fall into thinking, then the temptation, if you don't surrender those strengths to the Lord, is that you're going to lean on your own understanding. If the majority of your strengths fall into influencing, not surrendered, can turn into manipulation. If your strengths primarily lie in relating, and I've mentioned this, it can turn into a transactional relationship. Instead of just being a friend for the sake of being a friend because they're a human with a value and they're an image of God, just being a friend, not because they bake you good things, not because they patch your kids up. My neighbor is here, who's also my friend, and she has patched up my kids. Her father pulled glass out of one of my kids' heads. So, like, it could be transactional because of the things she does for us, but it's not transactional because we've shared life, we've shared prayers, we have celebrated together, we have cried together, because our friendships are not meant for just to have. Our friendships are meant so that we can prosper together, so we can spur each other on to good works and holiness. And for some of us, those relationships are necessary because you are the only Jesus that that person is going to see. And maybe you surrendering the gifts that God has given to you in that workplace, in your family, in your neighborhood is going to be the very thing that is a catalyst to that person coming to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I have one actionable thing. When I asked the Lord, I was like, God, what is it that you really, really, really want the women of this retreat to know? He wants you to know that he celebrates your strengths and he has given them to you to be used. They're life-giving, right? When you're doing that thing that you were made to do, doesn't it just fill you up? Like, you might have worked hard and your body might be tired, but because you're doing the thing that you were meant to do in your lane, it's like, yes, this is literally what I was made to do. That's amazing. But sisters, hear me today. We must keep those things surrendered to Jesus Christ, or the things that are our strength will trip us up. Someone I follow from afar, I don't know her personally, Jackie Hill Perry, I'm way too invested in her life. And like know all about her children, and her birth stories, and that she likes food. But that's neither here nor there. But this is something she posted, and I wanted to share this with you. David was trained in how to defeat his enemies through effective means. He was a man of war for decades. So it shouldn't surprise us when he utilized those same techniques when it came to murdering Uriah. When sin has your heart, it'll use your gifts too. So hear me. I am not saying you are the woman and there is sin in your life. No, 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 no. Please hear from me that what I am saying is with all that God has given you, that he has strengthened you to do, please keep it surrendered before the Lord, so that it can continue to bring glory to him and be a blessing to everybody that you come in contact with. Because that is how we continue to grow. That is how we get to impact the body. That is how we get to continue to carry the gospel, because we are staying in a place of surrender. Because we can have all of these amazing things and be applauded, but if we are unsurrendered in what God has given us, it will kill us. Right? I'm going to ask you to stand. There's different categories in the room. There are people that say, I know my strengths. I have a pretty good idea of what God has called me to. When you read off the different domains, Portia, I saw exactly where I am. I'm good. That is awesome. I would encourage you to continue to learn about them. Continue to ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, how do you want to use this in my life? Another question that I would ask you for those of you that are leading teams, look at what the dominant theme is over your team. Is your team an executing team? Is your team a thinking team, a relating team, an influencing team? How does your team holistically operate? And if you see that there are spaces that are missing, I bet somewhere around you there are other teams around your team that has strengths that your team doesn't have. That's only going to make you better, right? Because we're all in this together. Cue High School Musical. There are some of you that are in this place, you're like, I think maybe I know what my strengths are, but I'm not really sure. Yes, you can take an assessment, but you know what's even better than an assessment that you do online? Is to come before the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, can you show me what has been hardwired into who you've made me to be? Can you show me how I can demonstrate your character as I am walking out my life, as I'm making decisions, as I'm interacting with the people that you've placed in my sphere? Will you show me? And do you know what's so good and amazing about Holy Spirit is that he leads us to truth. And he shows us what we are to do, how we are to be. He takes us to the word that is our very life and shows us how we can sharpen what God has placed within us. Then there may be those in the room that you're like, I just have no idea. I've been called a leader my whole life, but I'm not exactly sure what it is that God sees in me or how he wants to use me. This is an amazing environment and atmosphere for the Lord to show you, yes, I have called you. Your leadership may not look like that person's leadership or that person's leadership, but God has designed it for it to look like you. He wants you to be you. Will you reflect his nature? Will you reflect his character? Absolutely, but you're going to do it through the filter of you, which I think is amazing that God doesn't make us be like somebody else. He makes us be the best of us to reflect him. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I'll speak to that last group first. If you are in this room and you know, no question mark, I'm a leader, but I just don't know what my strengths are. All I see are my deficiencies. Would you raise your hand? Because I'd like to pray over you. Thank you so much. Thank you for raising your hand. Thank you for acknowledging where you are. Because God sees that place. He sees you and he says, you are chosen. You are mine. I have set you apart to do things that only you can do. And if you will continue to abide with me, if you will continue to be with me, I will show you what it is that you are supposed to do. You are not supposed to be like whoever you have in your mind. That is not what I've called you to be. I've called you to be you. God, I ask that you would seal the truth over your daughters today who have acknowledged and said, I don't know and I don't see it. All I can focus on are the broken places or the lacking spaces. God, I ask that you would speak your word to your daughters that they are enough because they belong to you. God, I ask that their hearts would be able to hear the songs that you sing over them, that you delight in them because they're yours. God, I thank you that today is going to be a marking moment in the lives of your daughters, that they have questioned, they have doubted, and they have been unsure that you have called them. But today you are saying, I have called you. I am using you. Let me show you how I formed you and how I want to use you. For those of you that are in this room that say, okay, I recognize my strengths mostly, but I just need to come to a place where I surrender them to the Lord because I've been identifying too much with these things that I am good at doing as opposed to identifying with I am a child of God. You are not your strengths. They are just something that you do. And if you need to be at a place of surrender today, of just like, God, I recognize them, I see them, but I'm leaning too much on them and I surrender them to you. Would you raise your hand, please? Thank you. Thank you for your honesty before the Lord in this moment. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And to raise your hand in this moment, you are not condemned. You are not condemned. You are recognizing your need of your Savior to reorient what He has placed in your life. Because these things that you have leaned into, they are indeed from God. But they are not your source. They are not your lifeline. They do not define who you are. God has said who you are, and you are His precious child. This surrender does not mean that you will not operate in how God has created you to operate. This surrender means that no longer will you be driven by what you do. This surrender gives space for Holy Spirit to breathe life into areas where you've gone, but this should work differently. This should be flourishing differently. And this surrender allows the Lord to come into this space and to bring life and fruit like you have never seen before. So Father, I ask that over these daughters whose hands are raised right now, God, I speak to the places that, air quote, should be productive, but have not been productive. I ask that you would speak life into these spaces. I ask that you would silence every lie of the enemy that is telling them that they cannot do the very thing that you have asked them to do. I break that off in the name of Jesus, and they will accomplish everything that you have designed for them to accomplish in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray one final prayer, but I'm going to ask our prayer team leaders, if you would come to the front, if you'll remember that our prayer team members have yellow lanyards on, you can't miss them. I'm going to invite them forward because I know that there is so much power in coming and saying, would you pray with me? You do not have to tell your life story. You can simply say that, would you pray with me? And these ladies have been praying. These ladies are full of the Holy Spirit. And they are going to pray in agreement with what God is saying over your life. I believe that when you come forward for prayer, that some of you are going to have things confirmed in your life. Things that you have thought, that you thought that you heard from God because it was such a quiet whisper. But can I tell you today, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And the way that He increases our confidence that we hear His voice is He sometimes will confirm it from somebody else. You know the voice of God, and He wants to and is speaking to you right now. So some of you are going to come and have things confirmed. Some of you are just going to go to a space in this worship center, and you're just going to talk to God. Some of you might need to do a little bit of, okay, really, God, what's going on? I don't understand. And that's okay, because He loves you, and He's a really big God, and He's not put off by our questions. He invites them, actually. He wants us to come close to Him. Our strengths are an amazing gift, but they are not who we are. Our strengths are amazing gifts, but they must continually stay surrendered to the Lord so that His will is accomplished. His name is lifted up. Amen. I'm going to pray one more time. Father, I thank you for what you've done and what you are doing. God, I ask that every woman in this space would have a confidence of how you have made them, of how you have formed them. For some of my sisters in this room, they are beginning a journey today. They are beginning a journey where they are putting their hand in yours and saying, okay, here we go. I trust you. And I know that the things that you show me are going to be good. I know the things that you are going to show me are going to bring glory and honor to your name. I know the things that you are going to show me are going to shift circumstances in my life. Because that's the God that you are. So God, I bless my sisters in the name of the Lord that they would walk, not in their strength, but they would walk in the strength and the power of Almighty God. Because greater is He that is in them than he that is in the world. I bless my sisters because they are warriors.